This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Of course, we understand that Rick would defend Michael.
Hey, buddy, hey.
But he took a snapshot and put a heart that says BFF in the upper corner, and that is now his new photo on Twitter. You are unbelievable.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful shirt. It's a beautiful picture.
Oh, my God.
This is supporting a friend.
You're pathetic. Oh, look at me and Michael. We live happily ever after. It's pathetic. I don't know how to change my Twitter photo. And then right after the show, he's got it cropped. He's got special emojis.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, I mean,
not only did I figure it out, I added emojis to it.
Yeah, he turned into Bill Gates all of a sudden.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted.
You really are unbelievable. I'm in this love affair with Michael Kay. I'm surprised you're not rooting for the Yankees yet. The show is DCR on 98.7 ESPN. Will you ever go there? That you will? You promise me you will never root for the Yankees, just no matter what. Because you love Michael.
No, he's already tried. No, he knows. I root for Michael. I never root for the Yankees.
No chance. I don't know. I think we have some evidence to the contrary. I'm just saying. We do have a clip where you're professing that you are a Yankees fan.
I was rooting for the show. I wanted to talk baseball.
I don't know about that. Wasn't your finest look. Wasn't your finest moment.
You know I don't root for the Yankees. Stop yourself.
I don't
know. I wanted to talk baseball.
Otherwise.
All right. Well, listen. If you can't believe what I'm going to tell you, then what's the use?
I do believe what you told me. And you said that you're a Yankees fan.
Yeah. I would like to see the Yankees in the World Series. I think the quote was, I would like to see the Yankees in the World Series, yes.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk baseball. It had nothing to do with the Yankees. I didn't say I wanted the Yankees to win the World Series.
There's also an audio clip, though, of him saying Yankees fans him
like
included.
Myself,
yeah,
right?
Him included. Yeah.
That was a slip of the tongue. You guys both know. I don't understand what's going on between the both of you.
Saying.
Where all of a sudden you guys are teaming up against me?
We're not conspiring against
you. It's happening every show. I don't like it. Every show this happens now, and I don't like it.
If you say things that incriminate yourself, we're going to call you out on it.
I don't like that. All of a sudden now you guys are a team. Makes me uncomfortable. And I got no one. Because God forbid,
you got Mike.
You got Kay.
I got no one on the show, though. God forbid Santiago or RJ stand up for me.
Maybe you'll get the number one
star. I just think the expectation for a lot of Yankees fans, me in particular, is...
Yeah. You in particular. Like captain.
Right?
I'm like captain of the Yankees fans.
Right.
I would like to see the Yankees in the World Series, yes.
Fan boy.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get rid of those sound clips, RJ?
No, we can't.
No. They are a part of the show forever
and
always.
They're a staple of the station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't look great, does it?
No.
Yeah, that wasn't my finest moment. I'll agree. I mean, I can admit to that. That's not my finest moment.
You're coming out of the closet as a Pinstripes fan. It's okay. It's all right.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
I don't know. I don't like where this is headed right now. You two again. Every single show now, it's attack Rick. That's fine. I'll remember this. That's fine.
Okay. You'll deflect. We know. You want to deflect into the Nets?
No, I mean, we should be talking about the Islanders, but if you want to talk about the Nets,
we spent a few minutes on the Islanders. We're going to get back to the Islanders later. You don't think we should get back to the Nets now for a few minutes?
Oh, why don't you and Chris talk about it and see what you come up with?
Speaking of not looking good, Dave.
Yeah.
Speaking of not looking good.
You're a giant baby. All right, you know what, Chris? You and I will discuss, and then when Rick matures up a little bit, he will get involved in the conversation. This has taken a dramatic turn. The injuries, you see what's happening. It's now a 2-2 series, and... I asked you earlier, if there's no Harden and there's no Kyrie, who wins the series? And I think all of us, well, Rick won't go on a limb, but the two of us, because we agree on so much, would agree that, yes, right now, Milwaukee very well might be the favorite to win the series.
Well, Dave, things went from being really, really easy for the Brooklyn Nets on the offensive side of the floor to really, really hard. I mean, when you had no James Harden, it was okay because you still had Kyrie Irving and KD. Now you take Kyrie out of the mix after that... his ankle turning in the second quarter, and all of a sudden, it's just so much harder for them. They're so challenged in terms of shot creation, and it gave the Bucks an opportunity to focus their defense on being able to slow down Kevin Durant. And as good as Kevin Durant is, Dave, He can't do it by himself. And you saw that in the second half. The Bucks, after they went on that 21-4 run in the second quarter, and then Kyrie going out, they just kept their foot on the gas. And it was really nothing that the Brooklyn Nets could do to be able to close the gap. I thought they got close at the end of that third quarter. They cut the lead to single digits. And then Chris Middleton at the end of the quarter buries a three and puts them back up by double figures. So it's just one of those things. It just seems like every time Kevin Durant tried to make those plays to get his team back in the game, the Milwaukee Bucks kept coming up with plays to be able to extend their lead. It's just I don't know that Kevin Durant by himself, without those two in the big three, I don't know that he can do enough in order to put this team in position to be able to win games in this series.
Yeah, I mean, you feel completely different about the series now than you did after even the loss in Game 3.
Like we talked about it on Friday. The loss in Game 3 was a non-issue. They were going to still win the series. If Kyrie doesn't get hurt, I have zero thought that they don't win the series. Even if they lost yesterday, they'd win 5, they'd win 7, they'd be fine.
Yeah, so now, I mean, the other thing, too, about that injury, and Chris knows this, like it, when that happens mid-game, is a lot different than if you know going into the game that you're going to be without a certain player. Right? Like, you could just feel like it
felt all the energy like, got sapped out when he got hurt yesterday. Yep.
Like they lost something in that moment. And they emotionally they lost something in that moment. I guess the thing you would lean on as a Nets fan now moving forward is that two of the next three are at home. And just like Milwaukee secondary role players played better in Milwaukee, the role players who are now going to have to step up, let's be
better.
Honest. Well, I mean, if there's no Kyrie in this, well, I don't think there's going to be Kyrie, but if there's no James Harden, like Joe Harris is a guy that needs to show up and contribute in a big way.
Yep. I mean, you got to get 15, 18 points from Joe Harris. You can't expect 45 from Durant the way that they're going to play him on Tuesday night.
You'll expect close to 40. I mean, he's going to have to be close to that.
He's going to have to.
Yeah, but that might not be enough, Rico. That's the thing. Like, if the other guys don't come to the party, that might not be enough. And I get it. Role players play better at home. But these guys go from being role players to being a focal point of your offense. I mean, you're going to need a guy to step up and be that secondary scorer and somebody to be that tertiary scorer, and I just don't know that they have anybody that's capable of doing that. I mean, can we depend on Joe Harris and Blake Griffin to be those dudes?
No.
I don't think so. And then Jeff Green just coming back from injury, I don't know if you can put that on him either. So I
and
just,
Mike James, too, now. I mean, let's be honest, too. I mean, now Mike James is – I mean,
yeah, Mike James came back down to earth, didn't he?
Well, come on. Listen, when you're the fifth option, that's one thing. The seventh option, that's one thing. When we need you in a big spot on the road, you're not going to count on Mike James to get it done.
But that could be an issue, too. I mean, you saw, like, the last thing you want to do with this Milwaukee team is give them easy buckets. Like, make them work, right? I mean, they're not as, like, going to the series, when Kyrie was healthy, even with no Harden, like, it was. And you saw that. I mean, even in their win, they only scored 86 points.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they're not offensively gifted as...
Not at all.
...as Brooklyn, right? So make them work for it. You can't have... I mean, they had 26 fast break points. That's easy offense. That's too much.
Yeah, 25 points off of turnovers.
Like, that's too much. Like, 17 turnovers is too many turnovers. But now you get into the problem. Like, what I thought was crazy, and, I mean, Kevin Durant, yeah, he scored 28, but he was not the same efficient Kevin Durant. I mean, 1-for-8 from three. He had nine made field goals and 5 turnovers. Like that's not going to get it done. And that's not who Kevin Durant is. Like, Kevin Durant is an unbelievable scorer. He can get his whenever he wants to get his. But he's not a guy who's going to facilitate the offense and make everyone around him better.
Absolutely not.
He's going to make you better because, you know, he's drawn so much attention and then he can dish the ball. But as far as organizing you and everything else, that's not Kevin Durant. That was going to be Kyrie, better off if it's James Harden. But now it's going to be, if you don't have those two, it's going to be Mike James.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Yeah, this is not where you want to be. I mean, if you're a Nets fan, and I've been waiting for them to call in, you got to be, because they were pounding their chest after the first two games.
Oh, yeah.
Well, where
oh,
are yeah. they? Let's go with these Nets fans. 800-919-3776. How worried are you at this given moment? Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. We know he's a Knicks fan, but wants to talk NBA. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, Nets fans. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. one comment on this Nets series, and then one of the Yankees real quickly. Listen, it's really upsetting to watch what happened to Irving. It just flips everything upside down. There's King RJ. I guess they're going to do an MRI, but that looked nasty when I saw it. And it changed the tenor of the whole series. I don't think the Nets can win. And Milwaukee is not that good. Okay, that was exposed. You saw that. We can't count on Joe Harris to step up his game. He's what he is. He's a really good player coming. Even when he's in Virginia, he's a shooter. He's just a
then make your shots. Shooter. But, Spike, make your open shots at least.
You know what?
Joe Harris was a non-factor in Milwaukee. Joe
if
Harris
he
was,
makes
was
that shot
Milwaukee.
In Game 3, we're probably sitting here looking at a 3-1 series lead for Brooklyn.
He had 11 points in two games.
Mm-hmm.
In Games 3 and 4, he was a non-factor, which can't be the case. Even if James Harden comes back, and he's not going to be 100%, but even if he's back, Joe Harris is still going to need to contribute. Like he did in Games 1 and 2. Like you're still going to need someone else.
But you're not asking him to do anything unique. He had a wide-open look at an 18-footer. Hit those shots.
He didn't hit that, I mean, he was 1 for 11 in that game.
It was
he had
awful.
Nothing in that game.
Awful. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear hotline. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. Someone would like to agree with you, and that someone is Anthony in Holbrook. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
How's it going, boys? How are we doing this morning?
I'm fine, but you're gonna defend Rick, and I don't know that I'm going to love it. But go ahead, Anthony.
Before I make my next point, just if you would let me get to it, I just want to stick up for Rico here. Why is it that you guys are ganging up on him and teaming up on him all of a sudden? The guy's, like, bringing the energy. He's the energy guy. He's, you know, coming hot every morning, prepared. And you guys are just tag-teaming him. Rico, I don't like it, man. I'm sorry.
I'll tell Anthony what it is. Chris and I look at a situation and we assess it honestly. And if so happens that we agree, then it feels like we're teaming up on him. How many times do they disagree with me and they team up on me? So I just think that Chris and I are right and we are looking at it from a similar standpoint and Rick is on an island here and I think that's what it is.
I kind of get what you're saying, but when they team up on you, it's warranted because you say these outlandish things. What did Rico do to warrant a tag team?
Did you see what, first of all, he says he'd like to see the Yankees go to the World Series as a Mets fan.
Years ago.
All right. Secondly, did you see what he his defensive K in that shirt? Did you see what he did?
Yeah, I get that, but there's no need to tag team him. You guys got a personal issue with him. You know, it's a locker room thing.
It's not a personal issue. It's not Anthony. You both love Rick.
It's not personal.
It's not personal.
Yeah,
this is who Dave is. He's like the Josh Donaldson of radio. This is what he does. Starts airing out grievances.
Captain deflection.
This is no deflection. This is the truth.
This is exactly deflecting. Because you're being ganged up on because you're wrong, and the two of us see that you're wrong, and now all of a sudden you're going to play the victim.
Dave, it's not like we're taping the guy up and throwing him in the cold tub.
No, we're just calling
him out on some things that he said in the past.
You made a decision. We disagree with it, and you can't handle the fact that we disagree with it. That's the truth.
Seems like a lot of these decisions are happening lately is all I'm saying. Ever since the whole, like, oh, yeah, the $250 will go to the Chris Candy Foundation. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden things have changed now. 2-1, and that's fine.
Dave, did you let Rick borrow your small violin to play it on the show this morning?
Yes.
Did you give it to him?
I sent it over to him this weekend.
Okay.
Well, you're acting like you can play.
Because that's happening right
now. You can play your tiny clarinet while I play my small violin.
Our 800-919
during the maiden voyage of
3776.
And welcome aboard.
When I get attacked, it's fine. When you get attacked, all of a sudden, the sky is falling, you big baby. All right, 800-919-3776.
You're a baby.
Yeah, you are, baby.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what's coming up on KJZ this morning starting at 8 o'clock? Any guesses, Rick? Any guesses?
Ooh, I'm going to go with starting at 8.
I'm just told right at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, they have a newly added special guest.
I don't know. If it's newly added, I don't know.
You, right at 8.
No, I'm not on a date.
Yeah, right at 8.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes!
I don't see that on the rundown.
Don't worry.
You're involved. You don't have to be on the rundown to be okay, Jay-Z, as I found out last Thursday, Rico.
Conversation right at 8 o'clock. So
yeah.
You're ready for that, right?
I got Woj. I'm seeing Woj. I do not see Rick DiPietro.
Woj is 8'10". Van Gundy's 8'30". Tim Legler, 9'10". But Rick DiPietro right at 8 o'clock.
I'll pass.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
You're not on, but I thought I would make you get nervous for a minute.
You know I was going to get nervous. Why did you do that to me?
I know, because it's so fun.
You're such a dear. See, and everyone thinks that I'm the bad guy. You're the bad guy.
I have bad guy tendencies, but I think overall I'm the better guy.
Quite a few bad guy tendencies.
Quite a few.
I think that's fair to say. All right, let's get to a couple calls. And then we have a special guest that's just waiting in the wings to join the show. Let's go to Chris in Woodbridge. Good morning, Chris. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not a special guest. I'm just a typical
I know you're not the special guest.
Jersey.
No, you're just the guy.
I'm just calling about Steve Nash. I feel like the focus should be on Steve Nash right now because yesterday I noticed that we had an 11-point lead in the second quarter, and PJ Tucker started lighting us up, and I'm yelling at the TV, call timeout, call timeout. You know, Steve Nash let him go on a 12-0 run, and that, from that point on, the Bucks took over the game.
PJ, and you don't think the Kyrie injury had anything to do with it?
I don't think the timeouts at the end of it would have made any difference with Kyrie getting hurt, let's be honest.
Kyrie gets hurt, that game is over, Chris.
There's no question about that, Dave. I mean, that combined with what P.J. Tucker did defending Kevin Durant and then him making a couple of side pocket threes, I just felt like in that second quarter, late in that second quarter, is when the Bucks started to take control of that game. And it was really nothing that the Nets could do about it. I mean, as great as Kevin Durant was in that third quarter, I mean, you only had two of his teammates make field goals in that quarter. I mean, Kevin Durant can't do it all by himself. And I'm sorry, without James Harden and Kyrie Irving, the supporting cast is not going to be good enough to be able to beat this Milwaukee Bucks team.
Yep,
and keep in mind, Dave, I mean, everybody's talking about, you know, how challenged the Bucks are offensively. I think they've struggled to this point in this series. But, I mean, the Bucks are shooting awfully from three-point land. I mean, terribly, Dave. I mean, going into yesterday's game, the first three games of this series, they were 20 of 88 from three-point land.
It's incredible.
They were shooting 20.
Yesterday they were good
20,
the first half.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though, Rico. Yeah. They were shooting 22% going into game four. Yesterday they shot 34%. All I'm saying is this. We have not seen the best that the Bucks have to offer offensively. And yet we're coming back to Brooklyn in this series tied at 2-2. I'm just saying, like, This is one of those scary type of situations if you're the Brooklyn Nets. If you don't have James Harden or Kyrie Irving for game five, even with being back in your own building, it's still going to be an uphill climb.
If you're Milwaukee and you can't win a series without Harden and Kyrie, if they do not play for the remainder, you'll never win a championship. Like it is on a tee for them to win the series right now.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't, from where they were to where they're at now, their level of confidence with where their series has turned, yeah. I mean, this is it. Those two injuries, I mean, that if they don't get past the Brooklyn Nets now, then they will never get past them.
But, Rick, think about it, though, and you just said it. I mean, think about how much more confident Milwaukee has to be going into Game 5 now in comparison to where they were at going into Game 3. I mean, they're that much more confident. I mean, if you're not talking about them having Kyrie or James Harden, I mean, that's a game that you should be able to take care of your business. You
but
absolutely should.
But even after
should.
Game three, though, Chris, like, I wouldn't have been, like, if I'm in Milwaukee, honestly, God, like, I wouldn't still feel overly confident.
No.
Yeah, we
they
won.
They were awful
but still,
in game three.
But you can't afford to let games slip away, man. That's why, it would be such a different conversation right now had Brooklyn, even if Kyrie gets hurt, had Brooklyn won game three and it's 3-1 goal.
Yeah, because you only got to win one game and you got four opportunities. Like, I mean, it definitely changes things, but that's not what it is now. I mean, Brooklyn is in a series. And right now, if you had to pick who you think is going to win this series, you're probably going to lean toward the Bucks just because of the question marks with James Harden and Kyrie.
I think you might have to. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, it's time to give your dad a Father's Day gift he'll remember. Let the pros at Stock Car Racing Experience teach him how to drive a 600 horsepower, 160 mile per hour NASCAR on the 2.5 mile Super Speedway at Pocono Raceway. This is the real deal, guys. Be the first caller right now 888-987-ESPN. You'll score 2 6-lap stock car ride-alongs. This is a sure way to surprise your dad at NASCAR's famous Pocono Raceway in Northeast Pennsylvania. Brought to you by Stock Car Racing. Experience at Pocono Raceway. Get behind the wheel and drive for only $299 or a shotgun seat ride starting at only $99. Gift vouchers are easy to order online with instant email delivery, and they never expire. Visit 877-STOCKCAR.com or call 877-786-2522. I promised you a special guest. He's like America's guest at this point. He's on the K Show every day, and now he's awakened early on a Monday, and we bring in one Chris Carlin. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm just calling in to check and see on your state of mind regarding our new little Nets-Utah Jazz wager.
Yeah. So should we revisit where we are? Because RJ told me you were uncertain with what the exact wager happens to be.
I was a little uncertain, but I would like to revisit it, yes.
It's simple, and I'll spell it out for you. If the Nets win the championship, which I don't know how I could feel great about at this very moment with the injuries, you owe me and the guest of my choosing a full dinner at Peter Luger's. If the
right.
Jazz win the championship. Go ahead.
Yes.
If the Jazz win the championship, you will unlock the tape, which has been under lock and key for, it was 2007, for 14 years now, for America to
see. And that tape is of what, Dave? Just to remind our audience.
It's of me naked holding my infant son when the Giants win the Super Bowl 2007 over the undefeated Patriots.
Yeah, think Rafiki Lion King.
Singing We Are the Champions.
So if we could just, I just want to know, like, how you're feeling. That's all.
I don't feel great about enjoying Luger's. I feel fine about the tape not being released.
Oh, so you don't think Utah's going to win?
No, I'm not concerned at all about Utah. No.
Okay. Not concerned at all. Can we start the hashtag release the tape with every Jazz win / Nets loss? Can we do that?
I like it, Carlin. I like it. I like where your head's at.
So you're fully invested. Some people will make a wager like this. You're fully invested. Some people make a wager like this. Yeah, it'll never come to pass. You are like, you're locked in on every Jazz game, on every Nets game. Like Kyrie went down yesterday.
Oh, no.
You celebrated.
No, Dave, I don't celebrate when guys get injured like you. No. No, absolutely not. I merely want the Nets to be super careful because I think we can all agree the health of these guys is paramount here moving forward. So there's no need to rush anybody back.
I've never wanted to see a man naked more in my life. That video needs to be released.
Okay, we can clip that off, right?
Yeah, that's a drop.
Yeah.
That's a drop. That's a job.
And here's the other thing. You know, Dave, just as a personal thing.
Yeah.
Like, I do have, and it's not because it's K, it's not because it's anything else.
You're another one of these. I know.
You.
Go ahead.
No. I just have a little issue with you going after K's wardrobe. You don't see me going after people's diets. You know, did I miss you at the Met Gala last year?
Yeah, exactly.
No, so you can't notice if someone else is obese, like just because maybe you don't have the physique.
But I don't make.
I don't understand.
I don't make
first of all, I don't even think I went after Kay last week.
No,
I don't think I went after him. I think he's
Don
so sensitive that he thought I went after him. I don't think I said anything negative.
Well, the thing I would say here, Dave, is that. It's like a few minutes ago when you said you don't think you're a bad guy, but you have bad guy tendencies. Well, I don't think I'm fat. I just think I have, you know, the tendency to make poor choices when it comes to food. Maybe I'm a little delusional about that. That's all I'm saying.
Why are you up so early, by the way?
That's all.
It's not that early. It's 7:30.
Because I'm on my way in. I'm on my way into the seaport. I am going to do Barton Hahn all week.
This is unbelievable.
Well, what time is Barton Hahn on?
Not till noon.
They're on at
you're
noon,
on
but
your way.
You remember,
you're on your way. It's 7:30. Where do you live in South Africa? Why are you on your way to the studios now?
Yeah, I pretty much live in Pittsburgh, so that's basically what the deal is. Yeah, I mean, you can't predict traffic at all. At all these days.
But how long does it take you to get in?
Without traffic, about an hour and 45 minutes.
So if that happens, wow. You'll be in it at 9.
Right.
For a noon.
Yeah.
Guy works hard. He's dedicated.
I understand.
Yeah, you really are dedicated.
I just figured the CPAP machine crapped out or something.
Oh, my God. No, listen, if that was the case, I'd be asleep right now on Route 1.
And that'd be bad for everybody. All right, so we got you all week on Bart and Hahn?
Yes.
Oh, this is
what
a treat.
For the next few weeks, in fact, yeah.
Wow. This is a treat.
Multiple weeks. I love it.
Wow. We all win. All right, go well, Nets, Chris.
I do bet you guys.
Go Nets, no Jazz.
And I will see you, Dave. I will text you tonight at about 1 a.m. after the Jazz Clippers game 4.
I appreciate that, and I will return the text at about 4:15 in the morning tomorrow.
Giddy up.
All right, boys. How about that? Carlin leaving extra early to get in for the noon show.
Time out. How about with no traffic, it's an hour and 45?
That's a hell of a ride, bro.
He lives near Philadelphia.
That's aggressive. No traffic, 1:45?
Whew. So if traffic, he's looking at a 2.5?
Yeah, that's a long commute.
That's a hell of a commitment.
That's legit.
that's questioning life choices, though, right? Why would you ever live 2 hours from where you work?
That's a good question. Maybe he likes his neighbor. I don't know. I have wife wants
he
to live
must,
there.
He
I
must.
Don't know.
I mean, he must love the neighborhood.
He has to love it.
They must have block parties. I mean, it must be unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that would get old. Like, I do 3 hours just because I'm stuck in traffic. But if I was looking at 1:45, like.
Like a good
nothing?
Trip? A good trip?
Yeah,
for 1:45? No, I think you're obligated.
Especially at that size? Cramped up in the vehicle for that long?
Well, he probably has a big car.
Do they make cars that big?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I've never wanted to see a man naked more in my life. That's the truth. I can't lie.
Do you really want to see it, or you just want Dave to have to live with the embarrassment of knowing that the video is out?
He wants all of it.
Christopher, I don't think he's going to be embarrassed. He's playing this game with us. This is how diabolical he is. He secretly wants the video released.
No, I don't.
I began the naked run in 2007.
So what you're saying is he wants to be able to walk around with his chest puffed out, is what you're saying.
No, I don't know if we really – would you call it a chest? I mean, is –
Oh, you're saying something else?
Yeah, But I think from the way he's described it, and the fact that his nickname was Girth Brooks in high school, I think he wants this video released.
Okay,
I don't want it released.
So what you're saying is it would help his street credibility?
Yeah, this is like the whole Ray J situation. Like Ray, that video was about Ray J. Like he wanted that video out.
Let me give it to you properly.
That wasn't Kim's best performance. Kim was very average in the video. That
it
was
did
a Ray J show.
Springboard Kim Kardashian, though. I'm just saying.
Well, no, it eventually did, but I think Ray J thought he was going to springboard himself.
Oh, okay.
But it didn't.
All right, guests on DCR PRV the Goodyear Hotline. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Nikola Jokic, they threw him out of the game for that. The guy's the MVP of the league. It's a do or die game, and they throw him out of the game for that. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. What a disgrace that was last night.
I'm still in shock that it happened. I don't think it was an overly smart play by him.
That was out of bounds by Jokic. No question about it.
But
that
throw
wasn't
him
a basketball.
Out of the game?
But, Dave, it wasn't even a basketball play. It was clearly out of frustration. Like, he's taking a shot at campaign. Completely unnecessary. Like, I just feel like that was one of those where, like something could happen. Like, you could hurt a guy doing something like
that.
So
give him a flagrant. Give him the ball. Give him free throws.
I get what you're saying, Dave, but it wasn't like Jokic being in that game was going to make much of a difference. The Phoenix Suns was going to sweep them regardless. Like, that series wasn't competitive.
Yeah, but he's the MVP of the league, though. You can't. I mean, give him a flagrant one.
I hear what you're saying.
Guard, Kevin Durant's personal security guard was more physical with P.J. Tucker.
He gets more leeway, too, right?
What a good name, by the way, though. If you're a presidential candidate, what's your name? Campaign? No?
How much time do you sit around thinking about these things?
It just happened. Campaign.
That was a spur of
the
moment.
Thing that
you just had that on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, you're running for office. What's your name? Campaign?
I think that just popped in his head, Dave. That's why he said it as soon as he could.
Good for you, then.
Excuse me? No, it's Campaign. That's my name. think that fits perfectly. Come on.
I think he's in the New York City mayoral race.
Oh, my God. By the way, speaking of which, did you see what de Blasio did with the pizza? His number one pizza topping is green peppers.
Yeah, that was weird.
Come on, man.
That was weird.
Green peppers is not a number one pizza topping.
That tells
that's
you.
His that number
tells,
one?
Rico,
that's
that his tells number you one. Everything oh, you really need to know about him, doesn't it? Doesn't it say everything you need to know?
Between the pizza toppings, then he's in Brooklyn. He's in full Brooklyn Nets garb, and then he turns
he
all of a sudden. He's
panicked
in
now.
The Knicks hat with the Hawks don't fly like that. Come on, yeah, man.
Calling out Trae Young. Here is Nikola Jokic. Did you deserve to be ejected from the game last night?
Yes, it's passed. I don't know. It is. It happens. So it's that's probably true. Or it's not true. We are not going to change it. So it is what it is.
You talk about less of an answer. It happened. So it's true. Yes, but no.
How would you like your word salad?
I mean, he just really. Can we listen to that again? Well, here is Jokic.
I don't know. It is. It happens. So it's that's probably true or it's not true. We are not going to change it. So it is what it is.
It happens. So it's true or it's not true, but it is what it is. I mean, that's some soundbite there.
I still can't believe it happened. In all honesty,
I can't.
It was
believe
a stupid play by
it.
Him.
That's stupid not play.
But him, no. I mean, him slapping the basketball like that isn't good. I mean, that's not going to.
He wasn't really slapping the basketball, though, Rick. I mean, he was really knocking the hell out of campaign's shoulder. That's what he was doing.
We end up catching him in the face too. I just don't like that. That is not going to be one of those like me slapping the basketball isn't going to change. Isn't going to fire up my teammates or change the momentum of the game. Like that's not one of those. It was just a dumb play, but I can't. That's a closeout game, and it's the MVP of the league. Who is not a dirty player. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have a reputation of being a dirty player. Give him the flagrant
one. Give him a flagrant one. Let them shoot free throws. Give him the ball. Keep him in the game. They're going to lose anyway. And then, you know what? You can fine them and you can suspend them for a game or two next year if that's what you choose to do.
Yeah, I still don't like it. And then after the fact, I don't like the fact that he just got all up in Devin Booker's face and just was, like, not even remorseful about what he did to Cameron Payne. Like, I guess that's the part of it that rubs me the wrong way, just his reaction afterward. Like, it just seemed like it was callous, no concern for his opponent at all. Like, I get that it's the heat of battle, but you still, at the end of it, are colleagues. Like, it just feels like that was something completely unnecessary from Jokic. And I get it. He's frustrated because there's really nothing he could do to change the outcome of this series. Like, whether or not he was going to be in that game, it didn't matter. They were going to get swept. It's like the Phoenix Suns, collectively as a team, were like, is this the MVP of the league? Not really. Because there's nothing he can do about the outcome of this series.
Yeah, that was they really had their way with them in that one. Let's go to Frank in New Rochelle. Good morning, Frank. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning. Real is over if Irving and Harden do not play. But I wanted to say something about the MVP last night getting kicked out. I'll pose a question. If the MVP, if this was 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when LeBron was the MVP, you think what? LeBron gets game?
No way.
Don't
no
compare
chance.
LeBron and Jokic. Just don't do
what
it
do you
to yourself.
Think to make a point.
Don't compare LeBron and Jokic.
Well, I'm not comparing. I'm not comparing as players. I'm just saying you're MVP for a year. If you're MVP for 1 year, then you can make the comparison. Like if you can compare. I'm not saying he's as good as LeBron, but if you're going to do it to him, then you should do it to any person who is an MVP. And I just don't think LeBron would have got tossed. If he made that
all MVPs ain't going to be treated equal. LeBron James runs the league. He is the face of the NBA.
That's
it's not Jokic. It's not that guy. It's LeBron James. So when you start talking about the treatment from the officials, it's not because, well, Jokic got MVP this year. He's going to get the same treatment that LeBron James gets. No. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
LeBron would have never been tossed from that. Never.
No chance. Zero chance that LeBron James gets tossed for that. No. There's not. But the whole thing, like it's, yeah, he's the MVP, but he's not LeBron James. And that's where the comparison stops. They both have won MVPs, but that's where it stops.
Yeah, and that's it. Chaykin in Long Beach. Good morning, Chaykin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going well.
Just wanted to piggyback on the Ranger fans for Islanders. It's a win-win situation.
Oh, stop
if they
it.
Lose, you get to laugh. But if they win, you get to root for them. But my point is about Boone. No, we spend all this time.
What does that mean? I mean, I can't take this. What do you mean if they?
It's
if
a
they
terrific
lose,
antidote
laugh,
right there.
If they
shake
win,
it.
You get to root for them.
You win-win. But
no,
anyway,
it's a win-win, Dave. It's
There's
a win-win,
no win.
Dave.
No. No, I will be on my deathbed and I will argue this point. If you're a Rangers fan, you do not root for the Islanders. Period. End of sentence.
You take
Stop
that
it.
You take that Islanders martini shaken, not stirred.
You with the name, it's really remarkable. Chaykin, continue. I apologize for Rick.
So we get all. I'm not a Mets fan, so I don't really have a dog in this fight. But we spend all this time praising Thibodeau for the overperformance of the Knicks, and it seems as though that Boone gets a pass when we're talking about the Yankees, especially when we're talking about errors on the base path and the poor play in the field. Just wondering your thoughts on that.
The Yankees have been brutal. I mean, it's going to fall on the manager. I mean, he's allowed it to happen. I mean, I just don't know. Like, I mean, it's. You look at the players that are doing it. I mean, Judge has done it. Urshela has done it. You saw Odor do it. I mean, what are your other options?
You're not
pulling Urshela out. You're not pulling Judge out.
You can't. Where would you go? If you take Urshela and Judge out of the lineup, and Judge will take himself out at some point anyway because of injuries, but who are the guys, who are the reserves that you want to put in there for these guys?
You don't have any. You don't have, even without reserves, you don't have a first baseman. Like, LeMahieu ends up playing first, but you don't have a legitimate first baseman. You don't have a legitimate center fielder. You're not getting production out of left field. You play Andujar out there because he can hit, but defensively he's no good. Like, there are plays that a normal left fielder would make that Andujar can't make. Which, when you're struggling to score runs, is something that needs to have, you need to have that happen. Like, you need to do other things well, which they don't do. Which include run the bases, play good defense.
They're not a good team right now.
Hit into double plays. Like, listen, I mean, the categories they lead the Major League, they lead Major League Baseball in right now aren't the right categories. You don't want to lead the league in double play, like double plays hit into, thrown out on the bases is not a great category to lead the league in. I mean, that's not where you want to be. You want to lead the league in like defensive run save, like stuff like that. Runs, home runs, slugging percentage, OPS, like those are great categories to lead the league in. Not where you lead the league in right now.
But Rick, do they have the personnel to change the way that they're playing? You're talking about all these things that they don't do well. Like, do they have the guys to get this thing turned around so they're not doing those things?
If they don't hit home runs, no. No, I think things will change. I mean, if you can get any consistency in your lineup, I mean, it's like a new lineup every game. I mean, yesterday he had no Judge and no Stanton. Like, Stanton's a DH. Okay, that's all he can do. Well, I mean, once Luke Voit gets back, that solves, you hope, your first base problem. You have to, and I get it. Like, Yankees fans look at this team. It's 8.5 back, right? And it's, now you're headed to Toronto. Like, things don't look great. Cashman, I don't think, can just sit by. Like, he has to do something. Like, they need to, center field needs to be addressed. If Tyone continues to stink the way that he stinks, like,
then what?
The rotation needs, you have to find something to put there. Tyone got one out, Dave.
Listen, you don't have to convince me.
Which clearly had effect on yesterday's game.
Because his ERA is way above 5 on the season. It's not like he's keeping him on a bad start.
No, he's been the one. But that's the risk you run when you take flyers on guys like Kluber, who was great before he got hurt. And then Tyone, who hasn't pitched because he's been hurt. But you thought that you'd have time to figure that out because the offense would carry.
Because the offense would be so good and the bullpen's going to be so good. And the bullpen has been good and the offense has been horrendous.
It's been, yeah.
And now that the starting pitching has come back to reality, all of a sudden they have major problems with this team.
Could you imagine where this team would be if the starting pitching wasn't good to start the season?
They'd be 5 games below .500. They would probably honestly be like 11 games behind Tampa Bay right now.
They would most likely be buried.
The season would be over, yeah.
They're on the verge of being buried. They're 8.5 games out right now. That's a huge number.
And Tampa's not showing any signs of slowing down right now.
Unbelievable. They really are. Let's go to Steve in the car. Steve, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I think the narrative for the Nets right now, and especially for Kevin Durant, has uniquely changed. I think, you know, we could all agree that with Harden and Kyrie, if they didn't win the finals, it'd be, you know, one of the biggest upsets, I think, in modern NBA history. But I do believe that now with Harden and Kyrie out, I think Durant uniquely becomes, you know, he could become a hero in the city in terms of taking this team to an NBA final. I think that's a bigger accomplishment than him winning the final with the Kyrie and Harden. I think if he could take this team, this is sort of LeBron-esque. Taking those Cavs teams to NBA finals that had no business being there. And I think we could all agree that this Nets team has no business being in a final, beating Philly or beating Milwaukee with this supporting cast. Love to get you guys there.
It would be a huge accomplishment. If Harden and Kyrie don't come back, and he somehow manages to get through this series and then beat Philly. Yeah,
it increases his legacy, absolutely.
But I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. As good as he is, for him to get through this Milwaukee
series.
Yeah,
they're not
Philly,
getting past the Bucks. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The Bucks defend too well for Kevin Durant by himself without those other two guys being able to win this series. It's not going to happen.
They don't have enough.
They don't.
They don't have enough. Let's
they got a bunch of guys. They got a bunch of guys that you say to yourself, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Let's shut down Kevin Durant. We can't let him beat us. And if those other guys can beat us, okay.
But I don't think they can. And they've shown that they're not even close to being able to do that. If Joe Harris doesn't give you a better performance in Game 5 tomorrow night, then you have really no chance. Steve in Chappaqua. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. Regarding Knicks fans rooting for the Nets or Rangers fans rooting for the Islanders, to me, the talk of the last few years has been how many championships Boston has won over the last 20 years and how few New York has won, even though we have two or three of every team, every kind of team. So I'm rooting for the New York teams just because I hate Boston as much as I like my New York teams. What do you guys think?
I personally think that's ridiculous. I know Rick is going to probably jump on board with that.
No, I think everyone should root for the Islanders. It feels good to root for a team like that. Well-constructed, well, so? Works hard every
that's,
night.
That's your team. So if the Rangers were the identical team, you would root for them?
No.
Okay.
But I think I'm unique to the situation, though, because I played for the Islanders.
That's fair. If it's a fun team and a great team and they work and you like their GM and you like their coach, there's no way you would root for the Rangers.
No, I wouldn't root. I think there's two ways to look at it. I think there's a fine line. I can enjoy watching them and not root for them at the same time.
I think the Islanders are entertaining. I'm impressed by what they've done. I think that they're workmanlike and every guy gives tremendous effort. And I think they get the most out of what they have. But it doesn't mean I have to root for them.
No, you're right. Listen, you're right. I just want as many people rooting for the Islanders as humanly possible. I want the good
you
juju
want the
coming
juju.
Our way.
So,
yes,
so Rico, after they stole game one, how are you feeling about your Isles in this
fantastic.
Series?
Fantastic. I feel great. I feel great. I didn't even think they stole game one.
I mean, to the point where you're saying that you expect them to win this series?
I'm not going to touch the money yet. But, I mean, they keep playing that way. I expect Tampa to be way better in game two. I mean, they did not have any urgency in that game.
I couldn't believe it. Come out like that. All right, so Santi's been—he's had it wrapped up since 6:15. But we will now see what those selections have been. It is now time for three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR number three.
Well, number three is going to go to Aaron Boone because he doesn't put up with any of your nonsense.
No.
Why not?
I know them too well, and I don't think there's any getting used to freaking losing. Hell no.
Get the hell out of here.
I mean, I do appreciate him, because what else are you going to say, right? Because if you say anything else, it exposes you. And
you're indicting yourself.
Yeah, and he probably wouldn't make it to the All-Star break at this point. So
may not anyway, the way things are going.
It's not looking good. It's not looking good.
Number two.
Number two is going to go to Rick DiPietro because he's so committed to being Michael Kay's best friend. I mean, he's changed the Twitter avatar. And, Dave, you keep questioning, you know, like, why Rick is a Yankee fan.
I just think the expectation for a lot of Yankees fans, me in particular, is I would like to see the Yankees in the World Series, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, the answer's in front of your face all along. He just wants Michael Kay's approval, and he'll do anything for it. And that includes even saying he'll be a Yankee fan. That seems like a good theory.
How much is it going to cost me to get rid of those? Like, what's the price for me to get rid of those?
There's a number.
We can discuss off the air.
Let's discuss that.
Number one.
Number one, I appreciate the guest spot from Chris Carlin calling in. The dedication for a three-hour drive, as it were, from where he's coming from to do Bart and Han, which doesn't begin until noon. And I think he's probably at the Lincoln Tunnel already. But I appreciate him calling into the show. And I appreciate him getting clarity on the bet between you guys, and hopefully we get more info on that.
Although, what do you mean? First of all, more info. What kind of a person makes a wager of that size and doesn't really understand what wager is that they've made? He shouldn't get a star. He should get a demerit for not having
any exactly
idea.
What we're trying to figure out.
Entertaining.
The exact size is what we're trying to figure out.
It's
here.
Probably akin to somebody saying it was a loaded AFC. That's kind of how I feel about Carlin's Jazz take. I mean, he might just stumble into being right.
I hope he does. Oh, I hope he does.
It would be beneficial for everyone. That's all I'm saying.
Not for me. It would be embarrassing for me.
You know?
So you're playing us. I know you, this is what you're doing. You're playing us because I think you want this video released. Mm. That's what
trust
I think.
Me. I do not want this video released.
I've never wanted to see a man naked
conversation
more in my
way
life.
On KJZ in just a moment. and then Woj is going to join the show. It's jam-packed, so you go nowhere. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.